Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's up, Rams fans? This is Rams Showcase. My name is Sheriff Joe Bags. On this episode of Rams Showcase, the dam breaks and the Rams deliver big on Christmas Day. Plus, will history repeat itself? And later, the Battle of LA Part 2. We preview Rams at Chargers. Before we hop into the action, didn't want to let you know, Rams Showcase does officially have t-shirts. They are awesome. Instructions on how to order will be in the description below. We'll also talk about it here in a little bit. Also, before we hop in, if you are watching me on YouTube, great news. There's an audio-only version. You can find it where you already find all the other podcasts that you listen to. If you are listening to me audio-only, well, great news for you. There's a YouTube channel for Rams Showcase. Just search Rams Showcase on YouTube, and you can watch me talk about the LA Rams. Let's go ahead and hop on into it, as the Rams did defeat the Denver Broncos 51-14 on Christmas Day. As a Colorado native, this was the perfect Christmas present that I could have asked for. I got a couple of awesome things, as per usual, with my sister is an absolute monster at gift giving, so I got something awesome from her. But the Denver Broncos getting absolutely smoked by the LA Rams, that is like exactly what I wanted on this day. So that was really fun to watch. A couple of notes on this game. Baker Mayfield, he played awesome. He's sitting in the pocket well, he's going through his reads, and he's delivering good footballs. I don't know what else we could really ask for Baker Mayfield in these last few games. I don't anticipate that he's going to be the Rams quarterback next year or even a backup or anything. I don't think that that's going to happen. But while we have him now, this has been pretty fun. It's been pretty interesting to watch. It's been a good time. I had a memory pop up pretty recently from like 4 or 5 years ago talking about that I liked Baker Mayfield back then. And he's fine. I don't hate Baker Mayfield, but I'm also not like it's Baker time. Like, I am right now just because he's the Rams quarterback, but you get what I'm saying, I think, is that I've never been super big Baker guy, but hey, he's here right now and he's playing some good football right now. Could you imagine if he also had like Cooper Kupp to throw to? It'd be a pretty sweet time. So Baker, like I said, he's sitting in the pocket well. He's going through his reads. The offensive line is playing well, and you got to give them credit, as of course it's difficult to get that kind of stuff done when you're running for your life, but he's sitting back there. He's got time and delivering good balls, going through his reads well. I don't know. It seemed also like everything just kind of went the Rams' way in this game. I said it last week that even the defensive scheme that the Rams have, which is very sit back and hope that you can generate some pressure and force the quarterback into some mistakes. I talked about that last week, that I thought that this was a good matchup for this Rams defensive scheme going against the Denver Broncos offense, who has kind of a rough offensive line. And they have routes that take a long time to develop. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what played out. I didn't anticipate that it would go that well. You know, 4 interceptions and 7 sacks. I did not see it going that way. But I will say also, based on my knowledge of the Denver Broncos, that looked like just a poor effort game. It looks like the team's kind of just honed it in. They're kind of just done for the year. The Rams scheme worked out, and you couple that with poor effort levels on the Denver Broncos. It looked like only like 2 or 3 guys really wanted to win that game. Then that's what you get. You get, you know, Kobe Durant getting a pick 6, and you get B-Wags and Jalen getting some getting in on the turnover action. You got Murch getting 2 sacks, the first 2 sacks of his career. Dude, that was so awesome, man. Everything just kind of went perfect. Tyler Higbee, he's the best tight end in Rams history, and I keep seeing comments back to me when I keep saying this, that no, he's not. My question back to you, well, that I get the comments that no, he's not, but also there's not a name that they're replacing him with. So my question back to all these people that are saying Tyler Higbee's not the best tight end the Rams have ever seen, then who is? Because I can't answer that. He's the number, as far as tight ends go in Rams history, he's number 1 in receptions, yards, and touchdowns. Those are pretty big parameters. I don't know about you, but maybe there's somebody else that I'm not considering. Maybe somebody was just an absolute monster in the run game that were blocking really well. They were like an extension of the offensive line that you would consider. But I'm not getting any suggestions. I keep saying Tyler Higbee is the best tight end in Rams history, and that just gets met with, a lot of agreement, in fairness, but it does get met with the people, too, saying, no, he's not. But then that's it. There's no replacement. Give me a name. Give me something. So also in this game, I mentioned that because Tyler Higbee did officially become the Rams leader in touchdowns in this game with his two touchdowns that he was able to score, which is so awesome for him. First three of the season came in the last two games. So Tyler Higbee, like I had also mentioned it last year that or last week that could that touchdown to Tyler Higbee in Lambeau Field, could that be like a kind of a kickover of a domino where Baker and Tyler Higbee just really get zoned in together and get some good chemistry going? And it does feel like that's exactly what's happening. Tyler Higbee was clearly the number one target for Baker. So look for that in these final two games as we wrap up this NFL season. 12 personnel was used pretty heavy. I think Baker likes his tight ends, and I think that that's kind of been a thing. But we were running a lot of two, which is like Cam Akers in the back and then two tight ends. So this was working. Obviously, it worked really well. A lot of things worked really well in this game. But it really only works if your offensive line's playing good football, and they are right now, which is crazy to think that like that we've lost so many guys up front. And now, though, we've gotten some continuity. That's the biggest thing. I talked about that throughout most of this season. If we could just get some continuity, I feel pretty good about it. And that's exactly what's happened these last few weeks, is we've been able to keep the same guys starting up front, and it's clearly working out. These guys are clearly playing really well together. Ty Nsekhe at left tackle is kind of an unsung hero, in my opinion. I think that dude's playing great ball right now. Rob Havenstein, definitely an unsung hero of this entire team this whole season. One of the only guys that we really haven't heard a lot from, but hey, he's just holding it down there at right tackle. Like he's done his entire career. He's never talked about, but he's just holding it down at right tackle. Since St. Louis, the dude's just been holding it down at his spot and no gets no attention, gets no love. So I'm trying to make that kind of change a little bit. At least one outlet is going to be giving some Rob Havenstein love, man. That's my dude over there. So like I said, offensive line, though, playing really, really well. The motions were a big part of this. There was like a point in the game where it's like, how many times are we going to run motion? All of it, all of the times. It's what it felt like. I mean, you got 2-2 coming back and forth, Brandon Powell going back and forth. So obviously it was working, though, but you still need that line to play well. And they were. It wasn't just a total scheme domination, though, like I had mentioned. It really does feel like the Denver Broncos just kind of packed it up, packed it in. And it did not go well for them. They looked like they have poor effort level. They looked like they did not care about this game, really. They looked like they didn't want to be in LA on Christmas. They'd rather be in Denver. But I don't know. That's a tough emotion to have. And I know for myself, whenever I feel like the Rams have done that, which it's been a really long time since I felt like the Rams have done that. It's frustrating. And you can definitely feel that out here in Colorado. These Bronco fans are not thrilled right now. But then, of course, they do make a move. We'll talk about that here in a second, though. And then also, like I said, it just everything seemed to go the Rams' way, even to the point of like tensions building on the Broncos sideline. You got an offensive lineman pushing a backup quarterback. I'm so curious to hear what Rippon said there, because if you're the backup and you come up and say something in your offensive line enough to get shoved by an offensive lineman, you're probably being a jerk. All right. You're probably said something that you shouldn't have. And then he promptly comes in and throws a pick six. So that's real cool too. All right. Hey, Rams got a dub. Yeah. So that's game badge time. You know exactly what that means. It's game badge time. On the offensive side, there's a lot of people this could have gone to, but I'm going to go ahead and give it to running back Cam Akers. 23 attempts for 118 yards, three of the touchdowns. That's amazing. Cam Akers with an absolute day in this game on Christmas Day. It was so much fun to watch. Cam Akers just a little bit all over the place. Also tacked on two receptions for 29 yards, but 118 yards, clearly the best day of his season, as his previous best day was last week against the Packers, where he had, 64, if I'm not mistaken? And now, over 100. We absolutely nailed it. And also, Rams are one of four teams to not give up a 100-yard rusher, and now we finally got our own. So that's pretty sweet stuff. And the cool part about all that, too, is it's Cam Akers, who we thought would be on a different team right now. Like, he wasn't supposed to be here, remember? Like, when everything was terrible and he wasn't with the team earlier this year? This season's been so weird. I can't wait to do my wrap-up in a couple of weeks to talk about just, like, the craziness that was of this season after winning it all. This is so nuts to me, man. Flipping over to the defensive side. I don't think there was much battle here. There is a lot of names that I could have thrown in, but obviously it goes to cornerback Kobe Durant. Had just one tackle on the day, but two picks. That first pick was unbelievable. Kind of just sails over the receiver's head. And he just makes a crazy adjustment on the ball and is able to pull it in. And then the backup quarterback for the Denver Broncos, Ripon, comes in and picks six for Kobe. First defensive touchdown for the Rams this season. First pick six for the Rams in a few years. So that was really exciting as well. I would say I got some honorable mentions here on Game Badge as well, which would be Baker Mayfield, Tyler Higbee, and Laurell Murchison. Merch! Holy crap, man. He gets his first two sacks of his entire career on Christmas Day against Russell Wilson. That's so cool, man. I mean, Merch, first of all, I didn't even cover him getting claimed by the Rams because in my brain, I saw the news and was like, well, I don't even know really how to throw that in. It's just a transaction that we don't have any other transactions. This guy's got really no stats. And now I got egg on my face because Laurell Murchison, he's playing awesome. Really hope that like we can see some more out of him these next two games and that maybe he's earned his spot to at least come back in training camp and preseason next year and see what he can do, because the Rams pass rush has needed some sparks, and Murch coming in and getting two. I mean, that's awesome, obviously. And then you got the shifts as well as like Michael Hoyt and all that, and Hoyt getting back to back sacks two plays in a row. Like, I don't know. It was just the best day ever for the Rams, and it was the worst day ever for the Denver Broncos. And the Denver Broncos, what they got is their coach fired on Christmas Day. Merry Christmas, Nathaniel Hackett. You are fired. That sucks. But I laugh because it's because not laughing doesn't change it. It doesn't make anything better for him. So might as well laugh at it, I guess. But it's an interesting kind of story that unfolded after the Denver Broncos got absolutely wrecked by the LA Rams, which is obviously really fun. But the Denver Broncos, obviously Nathaniel Hackett was in over his head. I think we knew that week one when they played in Seattle, and it was kind of like, oh no, this coach doesn't know what he's doing. Like, it was right then that I kind of, I was making comments already about it. It was like, oh, his situational awareness is zero. Like, but maybe it's first game, you know, first game. And then second game, it's like, oh no, it's pretty bad still, but hey, it's still early. And then it gets to like week eight and you're like, no, I think this guy just sucks. So Nathaniel Hackett, of course, did get fired the day after Christmas, after this game happened. I'm sure they let him get back to Denver before they broke the news to him, but he is not the first Denver Broncos head coach to get fired after a loss to the Rams. It was in 2010. I was at this game. It was really fun to watch. The Rams went into, we talked about it actually last week. We talked about the game in 2010. It was Sam Bradford's rookie year. Denario Alexander on the team. Who was it? Matthew Mulligan scored two touchdowns in that game. But after that game happened, the Rams defeated the Denver Broncos 36-33. Josh McDaniels was fired the very next day. So what ended up happening there was the rest of the season, Josh McDaniels didn't have a job. He just didn't do anything. And then he became the Rams offensive coordinator the next season, which led to some really interesting things. Obviously, Mike Carney was cut and it was like, no, dang it, Josh McDaniels. Like, he's going to just ruin our whole scheme that we had going here. Carney and Jackson in the backfield was such a deadly run game. And then he took that away from us. But then he also brought in guys like Brandon Lloyd, who I've always loved. I've always been a big Brandon Lloyd guy. That guy is awesome. But then it just didn't really work out. But my whole point on that is the Rams got a Broncos coach fired after beating the crap out of him. I know 36-33. That's not beating the crap out of anybody. But we entered the fourth quarter 33-13. So we were kind of beating him up, and then the Rams really let up. What are you going to do? But now we get Nathaniel Hackett, who is off of the McVay tree in a roundabout way. So Matt LaFleur coached under Sean McVay just a couple years ago, got the job in Green Bay where Nathaniel Hackett was his offensive coordinator. And then Nathaniel Hackett got the job in Denver. We've talked about that before, of like the branch of a branch of Sean McVay. And I mentioned this actually, and somebody commented, and it made total sense. Say they wouldn't necessarily consider LaFleur off the McVay tree just because he was only there for one season. They were really both off of the McVay tree and they're kind of separate branches. Even though LaFleur was under McVay for that one season, he kind of commented and said, I don't know if I would really consider that a McVay tree. He didn't like learn under McVay. They learned together and then they just happened to go to LA together. And then LaFleur got a job, which fairness, I'll give you that. But I will say too, that I don't know if LaFleur gets the job in Green Bay if he's not under Sean McVay. So that's why I still will say that. So Nathaniel Hackett obviously goes to Denver way over his head. He's just not doing well there. But in Green Bay, keep in mind that LaFleur was really running that offense. And also Aaron Rodgers was quarterback, who clearly had quite a bit of say in what was going on. So I say all that to say this. Liam Cohen is done after this season. And I, for one, don't think it would be the worst hire in the world to see Nathaniel Hackett on the Rams sideline as the offensive coordinator. Because keep in mind, and I know that you're sitting there right now. You're ready to type to me right now saying, like, why would we want Nathaniel Hackett? He failed as a head coach. Keep in mind, he would not have that big of a role. It would be a very much a Green Bay role of an offensive coordinator for him, which is kind of where he thrived. He was doing really well in Green Bay. That's why he got the job in Denver, because he was doing a good job. It wasn't that he was just chilling up there and just LaFleur and Rodgers just running it and he's just collecting paychecks. That was not the case. All right. He was doing a good job in developing some of those young guys out there. And so for him to come to the Rams, I think that would be a good scheme fit. I think that he would work here. And obviously, he would not be running our offense. It's still going to be Sean McVay. It's still going to be Matthew Stafford. Those are going to be the main guys. They can be the LaFleur and Rodgers to the Nathaniel Hackett. They can be that connection where he just kind of comes in and assists and doesn't have to run the entire organization. So for that reason, I think that Nathaniel Hackett, with the Rams are going to have an opening. Liam Cohen's leaving. And also, I think it would be a scheme fit. I think that he would make sense for this move to happen. In history repeating itself, the Rams beat the crap out of the Denver Broncos, get their head coach fired, and then hire him. Boom. I believe, by the way, I have not seen it yet, but I had this conversation in a private thread with Rams House and Payo Time. And Payo had mentioned that he wanted to make a video about this topic, that he wanted to discuss this as well. So I say all that to say this, go check that out as well. Go see what Payo's take is on it, because I actually don't know his full take. We just had a brief conversation about it. And also, I do need to fulfill some obligations here. I need to shout out the Rams House channel. We decided to make a bet, a weird bet, on predicting the Rams pant color on Christmas Day. I think I went with Soul on it. And then Payo, I think, went with Bone. And then Rams House went with the Royal. So I have to just tell you to go subscribe to Rams House. It's the best content. We had no real parameters. I just needed to shout him out. So go there. He's a good dude. I mean, his content is awesome. I mean, he's a good Rams spot. And you can never have too many Rams YouTubers that you follow, you know? So Rams House, go follow Rams House. I'll link it in the YouTube description. I will do that for you. All right here. So, I guess next up is going to be our game preview. So we'll take a quick break and then it's LA at LA. I use that super loosely. We'll talk about Rams Chargers next. Don't move. Oh, you know what I forgot to do before we don't move? You can move still. Actually, don't wait. That doesn't make any sense. I don't know what to do. Rams Showcase does have t-shirts and they are awesome. Make sure that, you check them out. To order, you're just going to email aj.rsgear@gmail.com. You can tell him your size and style preference that you need. We got three different colors. We got the Bone, the Royal, and the Black. And they come in two different styles. One is based off of the Super Bowl ring with the two palm trees coming off of it. As a suggestion by the homie Tyler. So check that out. If you are interested in helping out Ram Showcase at all, that is the perfect way to do it. That is exactly how you do it, is just buy a Ram Showcase t-shirt. And it's also the perfect situation to fulfill your New Year's resolution, which is to look as cool as possible every single day. And that's exactly how you can do it, is by wearing a Ram Showcase t-shirt. All right, now we're going to do the preview next. Don't move. What's up, Rams fans? Welcome back into Rams Showcase. My name is Sheriff Joe Bags. The Los Angeles Rams take on the Los Angeles Chargers. That is happening at SoFi Stadium, 1:25 p.m. on CBS. Sparrow Ditas and Jay Feely will be on the call. We do have a distribution map, but it is not awesome. We'll put it up here for you. So the Rams are going to be in the blue zones, not a large area. And we went from being primetime to being like the B squad in the late window on CBS. So that's cool. But the Rams taking on, they are at the Chargers, which is an interesting thing. But you know what? This is actually kind of our bonus game, because one of our bonus games. There's two teams in the NFL where once every 8 years, they will get 10 games at their home stadium. And that is the Los Angeles Rams, as well as the New York Jets, actually, as one of their road games will be at the team that they share a stadium with. So it'll be Jets at Giants. So they'll get an extra game there. And this one here, the Rams at the Chargers. So SoFi Stadium, another time. We had our last home game of the season last week against the Denver Broncos on Christmas Day. This is our last SoFi game of the season at the Chargers on New Year's Day. So obviously this is LA versus LA. That is the biggest story about this game. The Chargers already have clinched a playoff spot. The Rams have been eliminated. So there's also some different trajectories going on. We only have two more games left and the Chargers have at least three. But this is the first time that these two teams will play as roommates in the regular season. So first time as SoFi residents that these two teams take on each other. Of course, the last time that these teams did play, that took place at the Coliseum. So not yet when SoFi Stadium was open. Now, of course, some preseason games as well. That's going to be a normal thing. Once a year, we'll probably just play the Chargers in the preseason. We did this year, and it actually led to 12 SoFi games for the Rams, as the preseason game was also at the Chargers. So 12 different times the Rams get to play at SoFi this year, which is pretty sweet stuff. Like I said, the Rams have been eliminated. The Chargers just clinched a playoff berth with their win on Monday Night Football last week. And will clinching the playoffs, will that have any kind of impact on how the Chargers enter this game? Are they going to maybe come in and be a little bit softer because they just want to kind of go in healthy? They made the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. So are they going to, like, this is Herbert's first time going to the playoffs. Is he going to be like, all right, we got two more games. Let's just get through these, get to the playoffs kind of thing. Is that going to be the mindset they have? They can't win their division, so they're locked in a wild card spot. So it's really, I mean, how much do they really sit there and say, well, let's go play this team, so we'll lose this game? No one's doing that. They all want to win the game, I'm sure. And they don't really care yet who they're playing in the playoffs, because everything's going to change, of course. So you can't really plan it all out like that. It's very difficult to do that. We can sidebar also sometime about people who think that the NFL is rigged. I'll try to remember to write that in sometime pretty soon into one of these upcoming shows, because that's a topic. So anyway, the Rams still have a chance to prove that they are still a relevant football team, and sitting with a 5-10 record right now, have the chance to go 7-10. And I'll be honest, if you look at the way that this season has unfolded, the way that the middle of the season really went, and just the injuries that this team has dealt with. We're down Stafford, Kupp, and Donald right now, are three of our superstars. Three of our top four wide receivers. Our offensive line is an absolute disaster. They're playing well, but like, it's a mess as far as injuries go. Like, 7-10 doesn't feel that bad, actually. Like, I'll be honest. And I know that we're not there yet, and we got two tough teams to play against, two teams that are looking at playoff berths to wrap up the season. But if this team can go 7-10, I kind of view that as like, it could have been worse, you know? So will the Rams, though, how will they look? Because you got to think Baker Mayfield doesn't give a crap where this team is drafting, right? Like, there's no way that he cares if our second round pick is a little higher or not, because he's probably not even going to be the beneficiary of whatever happens with that pick anyway. So why would he care? So I would believe that the way that the Rams played against the Denver Broncos, that they're still going to come in swinging in these last two games. And the Chargers, like I said, who knows what their mindset is going to be, because they locked up a playoff berth and they are locked in at a wild card. They cannot win their division. Are they going to come in just trying to make sure they get to the postseason healthy, because they've dealt with their own injuries as well? And let's see here. The Rams, with or without a playoff berth, the Rams, they still want to show that they're a force entering the offseason. Especially, like I said, if this team can be 7-10 going into the offseason, I think that the media shift will be very quickly like, hey, this team went 7-10 with getting absolutely destroyed by injuries. I think that that's what the media will shift to, because right now the media is kind of like, the Rams are terrible. Like, and that's just kind of the vibe right now. But I think that they're all kind of focused on just teams that are like the Eagles and the Vikings and stuff like that. The Packers are doing some stuff right now. So I think that that's where the mindset's going as far as media goes. But I wouldn't be surprised to see if this Rams team can win these final two games, Chargers and Seahawks, two road games, I think that the media shift will happen of like, well, this team got absolutely decimated by injuries and they still won seven games. That's pretty good. If they can be healthy, this is a playoff team, obviously. which I think will happen. So let's move on here to some players. So former Rams that are currently on the Chargers. We'll start with head coach Brandon Staley, who was the Rams 2020 defensive coordinator. Tight end Gerald Everett. He played tight end for the Rams from 17 to 20. So just he played for the Rams for a little bit. He snubbed me on an autograph in Denver, so I hurt my feelings. But he's a good player. He's very physical, very difficult to tackle. He does have stone hands sometimes, so that's really the concern with him. But I know somebody had mentioned that when I said Tyler Higbee was the best tight end in Rams history, they said that Gerald Everett was better. And I mean, statistically, no. Gerald Everett also, his time with the Rams was so short that I don't think you can even consider that. Moving on, running back Sony Michel, of course, played for the Rams here and there. he kind of came in and last year and kind of was able to give a nice spark to this team. Linebacker Troy Reader, when he was with the Rams, he was a pretty rough tackler, but he was our number one guy for a little while. Then B-Wags came in, and what an improvement. But Troy Reader played for the Rams from 2019 to 2021, so he just left last year. Morgan Fox, 2016 to 2020. So he was with the Rams their first year back in LA, and then did participate in a Super Bowl. That's Super Bowl 53 against the New England Patriots. Also, Sebastian Joseph Day, SJD, played for the Rams from 2018 to 21. So did participate in two Super Bowls for the LA Rams, which is pretty cool stuff. And Sebastian Joseph Day, Morgan Fox, Troy Reader, those guys really brought over because of Brandon Staley. Once they were no longer Rams, they pretty quickly got taken by the Chargers. Former Chargers who are on the Rams, offensive lineman Ode Obuchi, who almost did not play in this game as he was originally suspended, and then that was altered to just a fine for some post-game activities with Randy Gregory of the Denver Broncos on Christmas Day. But he was with the Chargers just last year. Defensive line coach Eric Henderson. He was an assistant defensive line coach for the Rams in 2017 and 18. I always liked Eric Henderson. I think he's a good coach. Also, definitely taken from us. But I lost my train of thought on where I was going with that. But I liked him as a coach when he was with the Rams. So, and I think he's doing a good job out in LA. Geez. My brain is falling apart. All right. And then defensive back coach Chris Shula, who also was a defensive quality control for the Rams 2015 to 16. Also did make that switch over from St. Louis. The history of this matchup, the Rams do lead all time 7-5. Since 1988, the Rams and Chargers have gone back and forth with wins. And actually, the home team has won every single game since 1991 in this series. So if that trend continues, it would be the Chargers winning this game, but also that is our home. The Chargers actually, I know some people are going to call them the renters a lot this week and stuff like that. And it's whatever. It's not a big deal. But I don't care. I see them as just our roommates. You know, when we're on the road and they use our stadium, I don't care. I think SoFi Stadium is such an amazing place that I think it's getting use is awesome. And no NFL venue has been used more than SoFi Stadium in the last, you know, however many years, because the Rams playoff games there that have happened, and the Giants Stadium not being used for playoff games. But the Chargers, to kind of just put it into a little bit of perspective, the Chargers pay $1 a year to play at SoFi Stadium. So I don't know if they're like, pay your rent. I think those comments sound silly when you consider that the rent is just $1. Like I said, the Rams did win in 2018 at the Coliseum, and the home team is dominating this series since 1991, which was the year I was born. So since I was alive, the home team has won every single game in this series. Let's take a look at the matchup here. We got the Rams offense versus the Chargers defense. The Rams offense still very low on this ranking here. 31st in the NFL, going against the 21st ranked defense for the Chargers. Chargers against the pass are 11th, so it's just outside of the top 10. The Rams are 25th on offense. And running the football, the Rams creeping on up. 89.9 now, 29th in the NFL. That is a lot higher than they have been. A whole 4-yard average improvement over these last few weeks. Going against, though, the 27th ranked run defense for the Chargers. This is definitely where the Chargers can be exploited. And 26 for the Rams putting up points, and 26 for the Chargers giving up points. So obviously, the McVay and Staley matchup is going to be pretty fun to watch here. What Sean McVay cooks up for that Brandon Staley defense and what Brandon Staley is going to try to take away from the Rams offense, that's going to be a fun chess match to watch. So just the play calling itself is going to be a storyline that I'll be kind of keeping an eye on, and what the Chargers are trying to take away from the Rams and where the Rams are trying to exploit the Chargers, I think is going to be pretty critical, considering that they do know each other. There's lots of former Rams on the Chargers. Obviously, guys like that are going to want to have a big game. Like, you think that Troy Reader doesn't want to absolutely wreck this game, or I guess that's a bad example because he doesn't play that much, but like Sebastian Joseph Day or Morgan Fox, you don't think that they want to absolutely come in and just crush this game against their former team? Like, that's obviously a thing that everybody wants to do. The Rams did escape on missing out on Ibushi, so we still get that continuity up front. This is what, the third week in a row? That's kind of absolute madness that we've been able to pull that off. Getting some, just a little bit of health. Well, I guess it wouldn't be that many because Brian Allen did go out just a couple games ago. But hey, continuity up front is something. And I still stand by the fact that I think that Coleman Shelton is better at center than Brian Allen. I think that the Rams' entire offensive line is better when Coleman Shelton is the one calling out the protections over Brian Allen. And I'm surprised that Brian Allen is even still here because of his lack of versatility. But that's a whole other topic that I've actually talked about plenty of times, so we don't really need to get into it. Baker, he played real solid last week. We're going to need him to do that again, obviously. So the way that Baker Mayfield was sitting in the pocket and just delivering balls, going through his reads, it was great. I mean, you can't really ask for much more than that. This Chargers team, excuse me, does have a stronger pass rush than the Broncos. So that is something to keep an eye out on as well, that he may not have as much time. But I would say that the Broncos corners are better than the Chargers corners, but the Chargers also don't have bad corners, so there's a little bit of a trade-off there. Still going against a good defense, though. But really, where the money's made in this matchup is going to be on the ground. The Chargers are exploitable on the ground, and if you can just keep Austin Ekeler and Justin Herbert and Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, those guys on the sideline, the more that they're off watching the game on the sideline with their helmets in their hands, the better that you're probably going to do in this game, because that offense is definitely explosive. So running the football here, which is something you can do on the Chargers, is going to be a big key in this one. And your 3-C, I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield, Cam Akers, and Tyler Higbee. So Baker Mayfield, he's still auditioning for the rest of the league. I don't anticipate that he would return to the Los Angeles Rams next year, even as a backup. I just don't think that that's going to happen. Of course, it's possible. I'm not going to say that it's not going to happen, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think that he's done enough to show the rest of the NFL that he should get another shot somewhere. And who knows where that's going to be. There's plenty of teams that have quarterback needs. Obviously, Vegas now, both New York teams are options. So there's places that he could potentially go. I don't know why Tennessee just feels too real for me. I don't know why, but there's no, I guess that's kind of irrelevant, but I don't know why in my brain it's like Baker to Tennessee is like, yeah, that's going to happen. Him playing for Vrabel, I think it makes sense. But either way, all that aside, Baker is still trying to prove to the rest of the league that he should be a starting NFL quarterback. And this is just another opportunity to do that against a good defense. So we did it last week against the Broncos defense, who has been playing really well this season. Of course, like I said, there were some effort level issues that I would consider for last week, but another good team that we're playing against, and another opportunity for Baker to show the rest of the NFL that he can get it done. Running back Cam Akers, he was leaned on super heavy on Christmas Day. I expect that to continue. It really is the Rams' biggest playmaker on offense right now. Running the football and catching the football, he can kind of do it all. And Cam Akers, I think right now, is just building a lot of confidence. And this gap here that we're witnessing for Cam Akers, based on everything that happened earlier in the season where we didn't even think he would be here right now, now Cam Akers playing really well going into next season, that is where Cam Akers, I think, is really going to thrive. Having this time right now to build that confidence, you went through your turmoil within the team and the issues that had happened. You got through that, and now you're playing good football to end the season. I think his confidence entering the 2023 year is going to be off the charts, and I think it's going to be a really good start for Cam Akers next year. But that is continuing right now. And if he does have a bad game in one of these last two, maybe that confidence level drops going into next year. So it's kind of big for him to keep that going. Also, Tyler Higbee, he's the best tight end in Rams history, and he's getting that nice rhythm with Baker Mayfield. I talked about that last week. Was that touchdown in Lambeau Field, was that enough to really get that trust built between Baker Mayfield and Tyler Higbee? And I think it's clear, and I think that we can confidently say now that yes, that is exactly what has happened. that they're feeling pretty good as a combo together. So look for Tyler Higbee to continue to be the main target for Baker Mayfield in these final two games. Let's flip over to the other side here. We got the Chargers offense versus the Rams defense. The Chargers offense 11th in the NFL going against the 13th ranked Rams defense. Passing the football is where the Chargers make their money. Third in the NFL going against the 22nd ranked pass defense for the Rams. The Rams run defense is very solid, though. Fifth against the run and fourth in yards per carry on the ground. And the Chargers not really doing a whole lot of running, just 31st in the NFL. They're 13th in points being scored, and the Rams tied for 17th in points given up. So a big part to remember in this one, and this is something that I've mentioned for some previous games that we had earlier in the year, is you might see the rankings pretty skewed there. I mean, third in passing the football, but 31st in running the football. Keep in mind that this team is definitely one of those teams that uses their screen game as a massive extension of their run game. And especially with a guy like Austin Ekeler, they've got really good running backs. One that I like a lot that they don't really use is Isaiah Spiller, but that's just because I'm a Texas A&M guy. But like Austin Ekeler, though, he's public enemy number one. The dude is strong. He's physical. He's difficult to tackle. He's tiny. He's just like a brick of a human being. That his nickname is Pound for Pound just because he's so ridiculously strong, especially for his size. Just a muscle. You know what I mean? He's a miniature running back version of Aaron Donald, and the dude is very strong. So he's definitely public enemy number one. The dude regularly puts up multiple touchdowns per game. He leads the NFL in touchdowns this year, did not make the Pro Bowl, but also neither did Bobby Wagner, and Geno Smith did. So what even is the Pro Bowl? It's the worst thing in the universe, I think. But either way, Austin Ekeler, obviously a super talented guy, and he's just part of it. I mean, Justin Herbert is extremely talented. They got Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. They got one heck of an offense out there. Definitely plenty of weapons. And this team should be better than they actually are. There's something to be said about the inconsistencies, though. We've even seen it out of Herbert, as talented as he is. Sometimes he comes into a game and he's just not on. And we used to see that with Goff a lot, where you can tell right away. You can tell on the first drive, it's like, okay, this is probably gonna be a long day, or we're really gonna need the ground game to take over this one. And you can kind of get that same vibe from Justin Herbert, where he just, that first drive, if he's not on, feel pretty good as the defense. You're like, all right, cool. And if he is on, though, then you're like, all right, well, we just gotta hold it down. But there's a lot of good battles to watch in this one, especially Austin Ekeler, like I mentioned, and Justin Herbert going against Bobby Wagner and Ernest Jones. Ernest Jones, I think that he's better than he's playing right now. I don't know what is necessarily going on with him. He just feels like he's just kind of doing it. But also, I really like Ernest Jones, so I don't know what is necessarily going on with him. But Bobby Wagner, obviously playing extremely good football right now. And the chess match of him calling out the plays and stuff is going to be really fun to watch. There's two strong wide receivers on the outside that will definitely test the Rams secondary. This Rams secondary right now still beat up a little bit, obviously, like Jordan Fuller still down, stuff like that, but it has been playing well. Troy Hill's been playing well. Jalen Ramsey's been playing well. Taylor Rapp's played okay. Nick Scott's playing well. So I think that this secondary is, they're doing fine right now, but a big part of that is we just need to get the pass rush there because that's where the Rams are lacking so far. But last week, obviously, it worked out. The Rams were crushing the Broncos offensive line. So hopefully that's something that we can check out this week. Hopefully the Chargers are a little bit beat up front. That does give us a chance for the Rams to create some pressure. And last week, was it a one-off, or was this like the turnover floodgates are now open and the Rams are just going to just do that for the rest of these last two games? That's a great question. And unfortunately, one I cannot answer before actually watching football games. But your 3-C on the defensive side for the Rams is going to be Bobby Wagner. We're going to go with Jalen Ramsey, and we are going to go with Greg Gaines. So Bobby Wagner, B-Wags, him versus Ekeler and Herbert. That's going to be such a fun battle to watch. Getting guys in the right position is obviously going to be the big story here. As long as those guys can be put in the right situations to make those plays, because this is a very explosive offense, that is obviously going to be pretty critical. And then Jalen Ramsey, he's been playing very energetic in his last few games, and that is a good sign. There's something about Jalen Ramsey's attitude and his personality that you can almost feel when he feels good. Like you can tell, in his press conferences when he comes in, he's bubbly and stuff like that. It's like he's usually going to be on. And then when he comes in, he's really down. Then that's when he almost plays frustrated, and it's worse than normal. But he's obviously super, super good at football. So him going against Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, I'm excited to watch this. As a fan of football, this is going to be just a fun battle to watch, especially Keenan Allen on Jalen Ramsey. They'll get a little chippy, I'm sure. The way that their personalities work, they're going to probably get in each other's heads and stuff. But I think that Ramsey is, obviously he's doing well right now. His attitude is good right now, but if you can get him frustrated, then he tends to make a little bit more mistakes. He tends to kind of get too aggressive sometimes and it can cost you. But yeah, Ramsey right now is playing fine. So I'm excited to see what he can do against these targets. And then Greg Gaines, the Chargers, their front is definitely beatable. Their offensive line is only okay. And something about Greg Gaines versus Zion Johnson that I really like. Watching anything on the Chargers or watching any of their previous games, there's something about Greg Gaines and his play style that I just think will work on Zion Johnson. And I'm not going to sit here and try to break down any tape for you and say like, well, if this happens, like, it feels like Greg Gaines should be able to beat Zion Johnson. That's all I got. That's that's my analysis, is it feels right. I don't know how you feel about that. All right. That's going to do it for me, actually. That's our game preview. And this is Ram Showcase. Make sure you follow Ram Showcase on all your favorite social media at Ram Showcase. You can follow myself at Sheriff Joe Bags just about everywhere. If you are hearing me only on Ram Showcase, well, great news. There's a YouTube channel. You can watch me talk about the LA Rams. If you are watching me on YouTube, great news. There's an audio only version. You can check me out wherever you already find your other favorite podcast. It is just about everywhere. I do have a other podcast now with one of my friends. It's called The Joe and Eric Show. If you would like to find out how to find that, reach out. I'll share it with you. That's on most places still, but it's not very popular yet, so it's still low and hard to find. But check me out there as well. And like I said, make sure you follow everywhere at Ram Showcase at Sheriff Joe Bags. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. This has been Ram Showcase, and that is it for me. I messed all of this up. I ruined my rhythm. Let me try that again. All right. That's going to do it for me. This is Ram Showcase. Wait, I ruined it again. Either way, follow me and stuff. And for those of you who aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you so much for watching. And go Rams.